We've been talking about the love of God. The love of God. Is this important?
Yes.
You're going to believe and receive from the Spirit of God?
Yes.
We can hear from God. We can believe we receive from God today. Hallelujah. It's important that you see these things in the Word. Hallelujah. Are you lovers of the Word?
Yes.
Is the Word God speaking to you?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be great if we had a manual for life? We do. But some people just can't see it. Well, number one, they don't open it. Number two, they don't get in there and they don't see it with the spiritual eyes. Because it's a closed book unless the Holy Ghost reveals it to you, right? What happens when he starts revealing it to you? He starts talking to me. Brother, I can't open that book. He starts talking to me. Yeah, exactly. It's the Spirit of the living God speaking to you. Is that good?
Yes.
What if you had the solution to a problem you're trying to figure out? And all of a sudden, God could speak. Do you think God knows the answer? Do you think God knows the answer to all the questions on the test you take? He does. I know. I've been there. And he'll let you cheat sometimes, too, if you get to know him well. I remember being at Rhema. And a lot of the tests there, they'd test you, you know, every week in whatever class it was. And, you know, true or false or whatever. Man, it got to the point where I could smell something false. It just smelled wrong. And, you know, and God would just give you the answer. It's true, false, true. He's the Spirit of truth, right? Is he going to tell you what's true and false? Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean aren't supposed to study, but he can help you. Is he the helper? Is he the teacher? Will he remind you of things? All the time. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this, people. I hope you are. You getting your feelers out there? Starting to feel the Holy Ghost? I mean, feel the Holy Ghost. Can you feel the Holy Ghost start to talk to you? Do you know that? Is he a reality or is he just some figment of your imagination? Does he actually talk to you? He actually is a person and he actually talks to you. You're not weird. You're not crazy. He's actually talking to you. The Spirit of the living God came to be with you and talk to you. Now, other people may think you're crazy, especially when you walk around praying in tongues all day. But what do you care? Do you? No. I'd rather have God talking to me and then everybody else just talking about me. But as long as he's talking to me, let him talk away. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Did I tell you what to turn to? I don't think I did. Matthew 22. Glory be to God. I love you, Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord. Did you know you can't even say Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost? I mean, you could say it. You get any sinner on the street to go, Jesus is Lord, and just parrot it. You could teach your parrot to say that, right? So that's not what I'm saying. And it'd be a good thing to teach your parrot to say. But when somebody legitimately says that Jesus is Lord, they have a revelation of it, and they make Jesus Lord, it is by the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the kingdom of heaven that is in us and on us and around us. We can walk in this kingdom now. We can walk in your glory now. We thank you for it, that these things are coming to pass. They're taking place in the earth, and we are honored to be a part of it. We ask you to increase our wisdom, increase our ability to understand and hear from the Spirit of God. Give us hearing hearts that we may know and see and flow with you in every area of life. Thank you, Father, for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Well, that's all. This is the first and great commandment. So which is the first and great commandment? That you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's your spirit, man, all your soul, that's your mind, and all your strength. You understand? That would be your body. That's pretty much all of you. You know, unless you can come up with some other area of life, this is it. This is all of you. You're going to love the Lord your God. Last week we talked quite at length about how we were going to do this, and I'll just review that here in a second, as soon as I read the rest of this. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What did God hang his prophets on? He hung it on the love of God, these two commandments. On these two commandments, he hung all of the law and the prophets. Glory be to God forever. And then turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And, everybody say and. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Is God big on his words? Absolutely. You can't fulfill the love of God without having his word in your heart. Doesn't work. We went down that trail last week. Look at this one more time. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. What did he do with these words? He commanded them. You to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and these words will be in your heart. He's giving you the key. He's not telling you to do an impossible task. Wouldn't that be unfair? Love the Lord your God with all your entire being and then not tell you how to do it. He did, right in the same breath. It's by the words of God. Now go with me to 1 John 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Here it says, we believe in the love. Before he's saying he's hanging all the law and the prophets on this one thing, love. What did the prophets speak? Words. How did they come into the earth? They came through words. Then God says, he commands you to hearken to his word and keep them in his heart, in your heart. And here, what did he say? We're going to believe in the love. Are you starting to make this connection? I know this took a whole sermon last week to try to get it up there. But now we've got it, okay? So we're going to have to go from here. If I have to go through the whole thing again, we aren't going to be able to make it. Stay hooked up. Do you understand? We have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now, what do we believe? The love. Now, have you ever heard about believing the word? Why did he command you to have the word in your heart so you could believe the love? There's a connection here. Are you making a connection? Hallelujah. And herein is our love made perfect. What? Believing in the love, believing in the word, that you may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Glory be to God forever. Remember, Jesus said, abide in me, and my words abide in you. And then what? The love of God would be in you. If you're abiding in him, his words abiding in you, then the love is abiding in you. This isn't just something you have to concoct on your own. It's not a feeling. What is it? It's the word. It's the word. People have a wrong impression of love. It's just feelings. It's not. It's a covenant, and it's his word. And if you abide in his word, he's abiding in you, and then the love's abiding in you. All right, that was last week in a nutshell. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Last week in a nutshell. I don't want anything in a nutshell. You know what's good in a nutshell? Nuts. Yeah. Hallelujah. Tasty too. Verse 14. For this cause I bow. This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. Now that he's praying for the church at Ephesus, was he praying for unbelievers? No, he was praying for the people. They were the church. They were believers. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. Were they Spirit-filled believers? The book of Acts chapter 19 says specifically so. They received the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were Spirit-filled believers. Now here's Paul saying what? He's praying for them. Well, why? You shouldn't have to pray for somebody. If the love's already in them, why would you pray for it? For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's he praying to? The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Guess what? You're part of a family. Just the one on earth? No, the ones in heaven too. They just don't happen to be here right now. Part of your family. The kingdom of God. We don't know how many brothers and sisters we have. It's a crazy amount. Man, Christmas time is nuts in heaven. Got to mail everybody presents. It's okay. You have plenty of money. Don't worry about it. You're part of a family of whom the whole, of the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. Everybody say, strengthened with might. He's praying for you to be strengthened with might by his what? By his Spirit in the inner man. What Spirit would that be? Casper the Friendly Ghost? No, it would be the Holy Ghost. Paul is praying to the Father in Jesus' name that you will be strengthened on your inner man by the Holy Ghost. Now, had they received the Holy Spirit? Yes, they had. Why is he praying this? I don't know. He's got time to waste. He's in jail. No, there's a specific reason. He would grant you to be according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. Huh? Through this love, you're going to be able to comprehend something. Through being strengthened by who? The Holy Ghost. You're going to be able to comprehend something that you can't comprehend before. So here we've got people. Listen, here we got people that are saved. People that are filled with the Holy Ghost. People that aren't comprehending something. And how much of that do we have to do in the body of Christ? We've got people walking around with the living God abiding in them, on them, and around them. They got the Word of God. They've got all the tools, and they aren't comprehending what they have. So here, he's praying for them. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why does he want you to know this thing called the love of Christ that passes knowledge? Without having comprehension of this love and this knowledge, you're not going to get what he's going to say next. You understand this? God just didn't phrase these things this way just for the heck of it. He phrased them this way because he's leading you into something much greater. And remember, they were already saved, already filled with the Holy Ghost, but they weren't comprehending something. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of what? So in order for us to be filled with all the fullness of God, we've got to comprehend something. The breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what? The love of God. Do we need to be strengthened for that? No, love is just very soft and wimpy. Why does he pray then? You know, is love strong? It has to be. If you can't handle it until he strengthens you, And we'll see later, and we did last week too, that God is love. You can't handle all of God. He is this thing called love. We talk about faith, hope, and love. He uses faith. He frames things with faith. He lives in the realm of hope, but he is love. And if you want to know the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to be filled with the fullness of God, you've got to be strengthened. There's no way that you can do this without being strengthened. I wish you would send a strengthener, some kind of strengthening agent, or something. Brother, don't tell me you're going there. I have nowhere else to go, and you're coming with me. And now, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What kind of knowledge is it passing? It's surpassing your human understanding. It's surpassing your capacity in your little pea brain to understand it. This is why he's strengthening you where? In your muscles. No, in the inner man, your spirit man. It's the only thing that can handle it. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that a bold prayer or what? He's praying for this church to be filled with all the... Would that make a difference? How'd you like this church to be filled with all the fullness of God? That'd be a trip. He's praying this. Pray for yourself. Pray for one another. Hallelujah. We have a spiritually anointed prayer here right in the Bible. You don't even have to make it up. You just read the words and say them out your mouth. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, everybody say now. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what that works in us, the power that works within us. Now, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. What is he doing? He's going to surpass our knowledge again. It's beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Hang on, people. So you're going to be filled with all the fullness of God, surpassing your knowledge by this love. By what? The Spirit of God. Romans 5 and verse 5. And the hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How is this love that surpasses knowledge that you need to be strengthened? Remember, to even have. You got to be strengthened to walk in this love and to know this love, the breadth, length, depth, and height of it. You got to be strengthened. Oh, I can handle it, brother. No, you can't. You can't handle it without the strengthening that goes on in your inner man. Did we read that yet? We read that, right? And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, this love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How are we going to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge? We're getting there. How are we going to know it? It's through the Holy Ghost. He sheds it abroad in your heart. We get our love by the Holy Ghost. John 5:42. This is Jesus talking to some Pharisees here. And he says, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. He turns around and he points at him and he says, I know you, you have not the love of God in you. How can you know? Come on. Here's a Pharisee, somebody who's dedicated his life to memorizing the scriptures and to do all these other things and probably keeping most of the commandments. But he draws a finger and he says, I know you, you have not the love of God in you. What is he talking about? This love is shed abroad in our hearts by whom? The Holy Ghost. He couldn't have been talking about anything other than he knew that this man had not the Holy Ghost. Because there's only one way for the love of God to be shed abroad in somebody's heart is by the Holy Spirit. This gets much bigger, so you got to hang on, people. I'm hanging. Right? On this hung all the law and the prophets. Why does God make such a big deal about the love of God? And he commands people, didn't he? He commands them. This is the commandment. How many other commandments do you have in the New Testament? None. It's this one thing, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and then love who? Your neighbor as yourself. But that's the second commandment, and we're not even there yet. And pretty soon we'll start to see how that actually applies. And if we can't love anything unless the Holy Ghost is in us, that God kind of love, and I'm not talking about the filio love, right? That's the Greek word for brotherly love, Philadelphia. The city of brotherly love. We're talking about the love of God. And remember, it's God himself. He's asking you to love your neighbor with his love. Himself. You can't do this unless you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength first. Do you understand? Because this love, which is beyond comprehension, comes in and takes over your heart by who? The Holy Ghost. It's his love. Jesus said, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. Does this mean this man didn't respect God? Did this mean that this man didn't honor God? What did it mean? It meant Jesus was drawing a line and saying, no, there's something that you're missing. It's the Holy Ghost. You can't love God without the power of the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Why I took you there. Look at this next one, Colossians 1:8. I'll read verse 7. And you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Now here's a man declaring that these people have love where? In the Spirit. Was there love outside the Spirit? I'm telling you, you cannot love people the way God is commanding you to apart from the Holy Ghost. You can't. It's the love of God. It's himself. How can you do it? How can you love someone in the love of God apart from him? You can't. This is why immediately he said, and my word shall abide in your heart. Because that's the only way you can have that kind of love is through the word and the Holy Ghost. It's himself. So when we do finally get to loving your neighbor as yourself, it's going to have to be through his love. Brother, you're going too fast. Well, hang on. He declared the love where? In the Spirit. God tell you that we about love, the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Is he just tempting you with something? Or is he telling you can know this? He says you got to be strengthened to know it. But then he's praying for him to know this. And then all things are possible, way beyond all you can ask or think, in this love, which is God himself. Hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode in him. Now go up to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you see a track record here? What did God say in the beginning back there in Deuteronomy? He said, love the Lord your God. It was his commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And these words shall be in your heart. Now he's saying, This is the commandment. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Who's going to dwell with you and shall be in you? The Holy Ghost, who sheds abroad the love of God in your heart. Do we also know that he strengthens you? People starting to see this. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father. He will give you what? Another comforter, a helper, a strengthener, an intercessor, an advocate, a standby. Why? So that you can know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Do you see how this is not just some wimpy feeling that you have towards people? And you wonder, well, I don't love them today, and I loved them yesterday, but now I don't love them anymore. Love, 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 love. And all that is a feeling. This is nothing to do with feelings. This has everything to do with God himself. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together, remember Jesus was raised from the dead? You remember this? Jesus being raised from the dead? No, brother, I don't remember that. Well, what are you doing here? Jesus was raised from the dead. This is where we find him. He's talking to the disciples. And being assembled together with them, he did what to them? Come on. He commanded them? Now, what did he just say? Keep my commandments, and I will do what? I will send another, and he'll abide with you forever. And we already know he's going to shed the love abroad in your heart. It's the Holy Ghost. Am I twisting scriptures here? And being assembled together, he, Jesus, remember, keep my commandments. He did what here? He commanded them. Well, what if they didn't keep his commandment? Did they love him? Were they doing what he told them? This is what he's saying. Keep my commandments. That means you love me and you're doing what he told me, what I've told you to do. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What did he command them? Receive the promise of the Father, which is a fulfillment of what Jesus told them just a little while ago. Did you remember that? He said, if you keep my words, you keep my commandments, I'm going to send another. Now he's commanding them, raised from the dead, commanded them to stay and wait. And then he said, they're going to abide in his love. Brother, you're just twisting them all together. Thank you. That's what the word does. Did you ever read that God is love? Do you know that the Holy Ghost is God? Do you know that he commanded them to wait to receive God? Where? To shed the love of God abroad in their heart. And what's he call it? He says, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And people talk about the baptism of love. That would be the baptism of love. Why? Because it's God. God himself. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. And when they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, when will the time that you restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Are we following this, people? What is he doing? He commanded them to stay. Then he promised that he was going to receive the promise of the Father if they obeyed him. And then what? The love of God will be shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost. All right, go with me over to, glory be to God, Ephesians 4:15. Now, what happened to them on the day of Pentecost? Do you remember? They spoke. Huh. They spoke. What happens when somebody receives the Holy Ghost? They speak. Hallelujah. They speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And some people say, well, that has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to show you right here. It has everything to do with everything. Because the love of God was what? Shed abroad in their hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. They're being strengthened with might in their inner man so that they can comprehend those things that other people aren't going to be able to comprehend. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in what? Love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We talked about being filled with all the fullness of God. God had to come up with some way to do this, to strengthen you to the point where you have the capacity to be filled with all the fullness of God. What does he say will cause you to grow up in all things into Christ? He says, speaking the truth in love. Who is love? The Holy Ghost, God in the earth today, he is love. And what do you do when you receive the Holy Spirit? You begin to speak. What are you speaking? Fabrications? You're speaking the truth. In love, are you seeing this? What are you speaking? What do you mean in love? Well, I don't feel anything. Remember, it's not a feeling. It's a person. You're actually speaking the truth in love, in the Holy Ghost. He's shedding it abroad in your hearts as you're speaking it. And what are you doing? You're growing up in all things, into the head, even Christ. Brother, you're putting too much emphasis on the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. No, I am not. This is exactly what he's saying. Did you read that? By speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Quickly go over to Jude 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. He says you're building yourself up. Why? So you can comprehend and grasp these things that surpass knowledge. And then he says to keep yourself in what? The love of God. You're praying in the Holy Ghost and you're keeping yourself in the Holy Ghost, who is the love of God because he is God. Brother, I don't know about this. That's extreme. I was waiting for my little flowery love message. It gets more extreme than this. What kind of love do you think Jesus operated in when he was on the earth? Did Jesus walk around in love with two sheep under his arm passing out flowers? What kind of love did he walk in? And did he walk really in any of it until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost? And he said, as I abide in my Father's love, so you will abide in my love. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the love of God. Look at it here. He said, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. What are you doing when you're praying in the Holy Ghost? You're keeping yourself in the love of God. Did he tell you to pray and keep, you know, go into the car and then keep yourself in the truck? What? It makes no sense. You're going into the car, you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to keep yourself in the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? The Holy Ghost. You cannot love anybody the way the Father wants you to love them unless you're in the Holy Ghost. It can't be done. It's impossible. And we've been trying to do it for years. Jesus commanded them to wait until they receive the Holy Ghost. Then they can love the way that he loved people. The Holy Ghost is love. Oh, brother, you're making these statements. Trying to prove it. He is the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God. He'll build you up so that you can comprehend it. How many of you know that? The more you pray in tongues, the more you can comprehend these things. And the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And you believe the love of God. Romans 8:26. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Likewise, the Spirit, who? The Holy Ghost, also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Remember, he said, pray in the Holy Ghost. He would strengthen you and keep you in the love of God. So is this love coming from you?
No.
It's not. He's helping your infirmities. Because you don't know what you should pray for as you ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you see that? So here we are. We're praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues, praying in other tongues. What's happening? There's intercession going on. You're being built up. You're being kept in the Spirit. You're being kept in the love of God. Brother, is there any power in walking in the love of God? Well, I don't know. Not if it's that mamby-pamby kind of love that people think it is. What about Jesus? Was anything possible to him as he walked around in the Holy Ghost, in the love of God? He said he abided in the love. The Father sent that love, and he abided in it. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And we know that all things, remember, build yourself up on your most holy faith. What? Believing in the love. You know this, that all things are working together for good for you. To them that love God. All right, go over to verse 39, same chapter. I'll read verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. No death, not even life. No angels, no principalities or powers. This is more than just a feeling. This is the power of God. He comes with the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know, brother. This seems extreme to me. You're talking about some extreme kind of love. Yeah, this is the love of God. And it's not a feeling. It's himself. You think that anything, life, death, angels, principalities, or powers could separate him from himself? No. And so when you're in him and in that love and moving in that love and abiding in that love, all things are possible. Way beyond all you can ask or think, according to his power that works in you. He's the power. Who's the power? Do we know this? The Holy Ghost is the power. He's quickening you according to love. Love is a powerful thing, people. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them. Now, has God prepared anything for you? How are we going to get into all of those things that's prepared? Remember, you got to be quickened. You got to be strengthened. You aren't going to be able to handle it. Let him quicken you. Let him strengthen you. Because he's got to get something beyond your comprehension to you so he can fill you with all his fullness. Does he have anything for you? Is it good? I hope so, brother. Well, you got to start believing in the love. You mean the mamby-bamby doesn't believe in the love and will hand out flowers? No. This is a thing that surpasses your comprehension, and there's nothing that can defile it or make it corrupt. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I don't know if you guys are here or not. He's prepared these things for somebody. Who's he prepared these things for? Those who like him. Those who think he's cool. Those who got a fish on the back of their car. Remember, maybe half the people in the Ephesian church, they might have had a fish on the back of their car or their donkey or whatever it was. But were they comprehending this? Were they walking in what he's saying here? Where they could comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height. He was praying for them to receive that and understand that, be strengthened in their inner man. Because God has prepared things for them that love him. So where do you think this comes through? It comes through the Holy Spirit, but it comes through the love. Is there any power in love? There's all power in love. Is God all powerful? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit all powerful? Yes. Is he love? Yes. He is love. See, I tell you, this is a difficult message to preach because we've heard love on so many other levels that it just makes no sense when you start talking about the love of God being himself. Having to be strengthened to comprehend this thing. It's powerful. It's himself. Be filled with all the fullness of God. All right, people, let me read on. But God has revealed them unto us by his what? He's going to give you things by the love of God. He's revealed them unto us, what? These things by the love of God, by his Spirit. Once again, making the connection, the love of God and the Spirit of God. Just making sense to anybody? For God has revealed them unto who? Us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How do they come? They come through that love. The things surpasses your knowledge. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think by this power that's working in you, that brings you into that love which is God himself. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth, praying in the Holy Ghost. Which things we speak. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Of course not. It's beyond your comprehension. But we speak the things the Holy Ghost teaches. What did Jesus constantly say? I'm not saying my own things. I'm saying what the Father told me to say. The Spirit of the Father. It's the same thing. This is how we're going to be able to love one another as yourself. There is no other way but to love people in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the way Jesus did it, and he commanded us to walk and love in that capacity, and it's a whole heck of a lot more than just, I love you, brother. Loving somebody in the power of the Holy Ghost. It has to be. Did I make enough sense there? This love is himself. He sheds it abroad in your heart by himself, by the Holy Spirit. He commanded them to stay until they received it. He said that if you obey my commandments, I'm going to bring another, the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the love of God. You cannot love God, you can't comprehend God, you can't even love Him without the power of the Holy Ghost working on you. And then He tells you to speak. Speak, it's the first thing. And what did they do? They magnified God, the Bible says in the book of Acts. They raised their hands and they began to magnify God. And it was only then that they could actually worship God to the degree that He wanted. They could only, now their full, whole heart, soul, mind, and strength was worshiping God. Are you saying that when you pray in tongues that you're worshiping God? Yes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the only way that we can comprehend His word and comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and height of what? The love of God. Jesus is Lord. Which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians 12. And hopefully this will lead me up into next week, so I can lamb blast you with another dose of revelation. Yes. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And Paul goes on into the 13th chapter and he talks about what? Love. That's where I thought you were supposed to preach from. Well, you wouldn't understand it if we just did that. That's what everybody talks about. And they have this lame, low level of loving your neighbor as yourself. And the only way you can love your neighbor as yourself is by the power of the Holy Ghost. You must come to know Him. You must be strengthened, remember? You can't comprehend it. Jesus even said that. I've got so much more to tell you, but you can't handle it now. But when the Holy Ghost comes, you'll be able to handle it. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Is this good? Is He telling us to do it? Yes, covet earnestly the best gifts. That means want them. Want these gifts. Want the ability to do these things in the Spirit. Want the ability to prophesy. Want the ability to have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gifts of healings, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All of these things, you want them. Special faith. Covet them earnestly, but I'm going to show you a better way. Why is there a better way? What is this better way? And He begins to talk about love. It is God Himself, knowing Him. He'll be able to strengthen your inner man so that you can walk in this love. And Jesus was constantly moved with compassion, the Bible says. He's walking around the street, and He was moved with compassion. Another word for love. He was moved with love and healed the sick. Who heals the sick? Who's healing the sick in Jesus' ministry? The Bible says it was the Holy Spirit. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So when Jesus was moved with compassion, who is He moving with? The Holy Spirit. Brother, this metropolitan Holy Ghost society, that's all you ever talk about. The Holy Ghost this, Holy Ghost that. He's God. And you're not going to know the love of God until you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll be moved with compassion just like Jesus was. And you'll abide in His love just the way He's abiding in you. How's He abiding in you? Remember? Judas said, Judas, not Iscariot. He said, how are you going to abide in us? And Jesus said, the Holy Ghost. If you keep My commandments, I will come in the Holy Ghost. And you'll be able to abide in My love. And My love will abide in you, and you will be moved with My compassion, loving your neighbor as yourself. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for greater comprehension and revelation of the love of God. Strengthen us with Your might in our inner mans, that we can rise up and be filled with all of Your fullness. Holy Spirit, we worship You. I ask to be filled with all of Your fullness. I ask that this body of believers be filled with all of Your fullness, that we can be moved with Your compassion, that we can be moved in the earth and actually fulfill the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen. Hallelujah.